have a nice cough before I get started here. And then, we're gonna have a show. Waiting for a very disabled lady to cross in front of the car. I don't know. It would be horrible. I feel like, I don't know. I hate when people don't let people who are on foot go in front of the car. That pisses me off. I just feel like, come on, guys. Like, they're outside, they're in the elements, it sucks. You're sitting, you're in a chair. You're in a chair making your travel happen with the slightest flick of your foot. You can't just let somebody go by. Welcome. Welcome to a car cast. So, like always, if it's not legal to drive and do this, then I'm definitely not doing that. But in this fictional land where I am, I'm headed up once again to Grand Junction for their Comic-Con. They asked me to come talk about comics, and I said, okay. It's far. It's a lot further than I remember every time. I'm like, God, this is far. But hopefully I'll be able to get in at least a couple shows here. Not get in, but it's a great way to use time. And also, I find the time goes real fast for me. So anyway, had some different topics to discuss. And first, I wanted to talk about a little film I saw a week ago. Almost 2 weeks ago, I guess. I'm still a little sick, by the way. It's only been about a week and a half, so of course I couldn't defeat a common cold in that amount of time. I'm not a machine nor a normal man. I am nothing. I'm the worst thing. So a couple weeks ago, we were going to watch a horror movie. This is something I like to do with friends now and then, because I think that horror, I understand why people wouldn't like horror, and I would never try to convince someone that they should like horror if they don't. But, like, I think the reason I dig it is because it's different, usually. I mean, you can kind of identify it fairly easily, like, all right, this is a horror movie. And there's always something, at least in most horror movies, there's at least one moment that you're like, oh, that was pretty weird. Or that was probably not worth going to the whole thing, but you're like, well, there was a moment during that movie when I wasn't thinking about how I'm sitting here watching a movie and how I have other shit to do that I'd rather be doing. There's at least a moment of that. Like, a lot of other movies aren't that way. I am not, like, a great movie goer, which is weird because I think I enjoy movies and I go see them and have a good time. And also, I'm not, like, hypercritical, or I don't feel like I am. I don't know. I feel like movies is a little like food, where everyone thinks they can dissect it and just, you know, they can tell you everything that's wrong with it, and that's valid. Which is like, hey, just because you've seen some movies doesn't mean, you know, whatever. I don't know. Here's what's weird, like, with amateur movie critics to me, I feel like, hey, if you're an amateur movie critic, like, if you're not doing this for, if this isn't, like, your thing, but you're like, whatever I post on Rotten Tomatoes, it's like, why are you seeing a lot of movies that are below 50% for you? Like, wouldn't you, I consider it my movie critique level to basically not see movies that I'm not going to like on some level. Like, that's the purpose of me being critical of movies. Is that if I don't think I'm going to enjoy it at all, hopefully I won't go. That's kind of, like, why I would be critical of a movie. When the new Katherine Heigl romantic comedy comes out, I ain't fucking going. Because I use my brain, and I say, this is probably going to be shit. Or the new RoboCop comes out, and I use my critical mind to say, what about RoboCop would I like to see that I did not see in the first two films? Like, what else is there? Jetpack? Well, that was in the third, and it turns out that's not enough. So basically, I feel like I've seen what I want from RoboCop. And I don't really, I don't know. It's not impossible to be better. I think one could make an argument, Dawn of the Dead, for example. I think the remake is as good and in some ways better than the original. And I know film snobs everywhere would probably be like, that's blasphemous, but I think it's true. It's a very watchable movie. They did a good job. It was fun. And, it was everything you wanted. Up until, you know, like, most movies has a third act problem where you're like, well, you kind of take the fun out of escaping from a mall full of zombies when you're like, what should we make? How about like a battle bus out of a parking lot bus that we somehow know how to make and there's welding equipment and shit for some reason? Like, that seems like a good idea. Let's just get out of here. But this is kind of why I think horror movies are more appealing, is because I go into them with very low expectations, always. And so if something happens that's memorable, it's worth it. You know, we saw the movie Oculus, and I didn't really like it. But there's a part where a lady eats a light bulb like an apple. And you're like, oh my god. And also, it was fun because we went to it, and Val was... You know, I didn't know what it was, and I was like, what are we going to see? And she's like, Oculus. It's about a scary mirror. And I was like, okay. I thought this was a typical Val understatement of the situation. It was exactly about a scary mirror and nothing else. She was totally right. Or we went and saw Devil's Due, I think it was called, which is Rosemary's Baby. And there's this great part where she's just eating raw hamburger in the grocery store. That was pretty good. That was enjoyable. So anyway, and I do kind of also avoid the horror movies composed of, like, found footage, because I just am tired of that idea. It's kind of like the idea of making a sitcom now that's based, you know, it's like a reality show basis or documentary basis, like The Office was. Even The Office couldn't keep that together through the end. And so, I don't know. It's just not... You just don't need to do that anymore. Let's just do something else. Anyway. So we were going to watch a horror movie. However, we decided to watch a different kind of movie instead. And we were kind of flipping through, like, what's available, what's optional here. And by the way, Amazon... You really need to get into, like, streaming for rental, like, real bad old movies. Just kind of look through HBO's weekend calendar, starting at 5 p.m. all the way through the night, till the night closes in, from the years 1980, whatever you started in, to 1994. Because these are, like, nostalgia pieces that people would rent the shit out of and stream and watch. This would happen. So we looked through a little bit, and then we found a movie called Airborne. A-I-R-B-O-R-N, probably E on the end. Which I remember it as being this great 90s rollerblade race movie. And that's pretty much all I remembered about it. But I was like, this is perfect. This is going to be great. Let's watch this. And enjoy it for what it is. And did we enjoy it for what it is? Find out after the break. Today's show is brought to you by Squarespace. Squarespace is some kind of thing where you do stuff on the internet. And I totally use Squarespace all the time to do the things I need to do with the internet. Do you have internet things you need to do? Then do it on Squarespace. Type in the offer code Squarespace into Squarespace. I'm sure there's offer codes if I could think of one. I mean, I could just think of the other shows I listen to. So if you want to use Squarespace, try offer code TESD or Indoor or what else? WTF Pod or something like that. Just try a bunch of podcast names and you'll find one. Same on Audible. If you've never tried Audible, consider whether it's worth your time to put in your credit card and stuff. And then here's the tricky thing when you try Audible, a free trial. It's not like they just give you two free books. What you have to do is put in, you sign up for Audible, it gives you two free books, but then you have to de-sign up at the end of your trial period or whatever. So that's kind of how that works. How I'm sure they trick people is basically they have a bunch of people who sign up, it's a two-month thing, and then they get off it, but after they've paid for a month that they didn't use. So they're just getting a ton of money that way. Anyway, Airborne. I don't remember what year it's from, but it's probably 93 or 94. I would guess that it's a 5.6 on IMDb. And it's a movie about a kid who basically moves to, I don't know, Pittsburgh or some shit, Ohio. And he's like a California kid, and now he's got to fit in Pittsburgh. Let's just call it Pittsburgh. I feel like it was Pittsburgh or something. I think it was Pittsburgh just because I feel like they picked that by name. They were just like, ah, it's the Pits, right? Like there were a lot of good Pits jokes. Or it sounds shitty. Just the name. Like, where do I live? Pittsburgh. Oh, okay. Where do I live? Crapsdale. Hey, perfect. These names align. So, the movie starts out with our friend Mitchell. Now, Mitchell is like a surfer, skater, California kid. You couldn't have a more California kid in the 90s, right? He's skateboarding. He's catching tubular waves. He's, hanging out in the sunshine and the whatever. And he's got, like, the middle part poofy sort of hair that was every kid's dream in the 90s and Peter Dirk's nightmare. Let me tell you, I had some pretty good 90s hair. Some Hanson hair, if you will, which I eventually cut after a camping trip because it got so tangled and knotted that I was like, oh, you have to like comb and brush this long hair. Fuck that shit. No thanks. Also, because, you know, once Hanson had it, it was not good. And I think the period where I had long hair and Hanson didn't have long hair was like 8 months, maybe. So really, we crossed over completely, but I don't think people knew what Hanson was. Boy, were they in for a surprise. So Mitchell is just this kid who loves the California lifestyle, and he goes home, and his parents, in hilarious anti-casting fashion, are these old nerds, right? You got a total nerd dad, total nerd mom. And they're like, Mitchell, please have a seat. And they have a golden retriever or something with them. And they're like, Mitchell, we've been offered a research study to move to Australia. And Mitchell, I think this is some of the first talking he does, is like, oh, that's amazing. The biggest waves in the surf town USA? Amazing. Yeah, let's do it. And they're like, well, unfortunately, you can't miss school, so you can't come with us. And instead, you'll be moving with your auntie and uncle in, Pittsburgh. West Philadelphia, really. He's kind of the anti-Fresh Prince, now that I think about it. He's a white surfer who moved from the California West Coast, to near the East Coast. If Pittsburgh is well west of Philadelphia, that would make me extremely happy, and it seems likely. Anyway, geography aside, I didn't really get it, because they're like, no, you can't miss school, but you can go to a completely different school. Now, and they didn't even say anything like, no, your grades are fucked, young man. They were just sort of like, no, you can't miss school, so you're going to go live with your aunt and your uncle in a completely different state. So it's like, all right, well, we'll just send you... by the way, I'm sure Pennsylvania is famous for its amazing schools, right? So he's like, oh, total bummer, brah. And then gets on a plane and goes to Pittsburgh. And I think the credits are even still kind of going at this point, because, you know, they show baffled baggage handlers throwing a surfboard onto the plane, off the plane at Philadelphia, right? And they're just like, what the fuck is this shit? And he gets into the airport, and he's carrying his surfboard, and he's got snow in his gorgeous hair. And he meets his aunt and uncle, who are like two character actors you'd recognize from anywhere. There's the one lady who's got like the Minnesota voice and red hair, and she's like, oh, Mitchell, welcome! And they're all excited, and they have their son, Mitchell's cousin, played by none other than Seth Green. And Seth Green is kind of doing his best, like, I'm a high school student who's into Edgar Allan Poe. He's got shitty-looking hair. Ooh, boy, Seth Green's hair does not look good when it's long. It looked like a wig. It looked like a wig that someone had dyed orange. Like, someone bought... They were all out of blonde or orange wigs. Red wigs. They were all out of wigs that they needed. And so he's like, I could just buy a blonde wig and dye it, right? No. No, you can't. Because this is what happens. You know, and he's got, like, the John Lennon sunglasses and stuff. And they go back to the house, you know, and it's like a typical sort of Midwest house, I guess, where it's just like she's making a weird beef casserole or something. And so this is premise, you know, this is all like, how do we get, what's the story going to be? How do we make a story happen? Fish out of water. Fish out of the ocean water into the crappy sewers of Pittsburgh. So then, you know, we are introduced to Seth Green, Wiley, a little more. And they go downstairs, you know, he's like, come on, ignore my stupid parents, come downstairs. And, they go downstairs, and he's got, like, the total 90s movie room. You know, this is like the thing they did in 90s movies, where it's like, give this kid the craziest room ever. Basically make it look like he had $10,000 to decorate his room. And it's like every poster in Hot Topic, Christmas lights, patio lights, Halloween shit. You know, they sometimes will have like a big weird prop that I've never seen, like a telephone booth. Which is the only place I've seen a telephone booth in someone's home. I know these guys, and one of the guys is like a decorator for, you know, Real Bad Girls Club or whatever. These kind of shows. And they had an old-timey telephone booth in their house, these adult men. And that was like, but that was like the one piece of, you know, craziness. I mean, the rest, it looked good. And it wasn't a single room in which all of their things had to exist. But, okay, here's the thing about Airborne. Like, there are definite, it's a cheesy, shitty movie. And at the same time, boy, does it bring back some memories. Like, I remember being that way. I had a room that I covered in posters. I had two rooms that I did that with, because I had a mom room and a dad room. And, like, the mom's room, I had girls who were friends, like, in fifth grade, and they would cut me out pictures from, like, Tiger Beat-type magazines, because they had posters of people... Oh, hang on. Sorry about that. They had posters of your Green Days and whatnot, which I don't know why. I don't think... Maybe the lead singer, is that like a hot dude? He might have been a hot dude, but the other members of Green Day were not hot dudes. I remember I had a poster of the drummer, and I was just like, I don't know, man. This looks like him on his best day. I don't think I'd do him. I don't think I would. But it was super annoying that these posters were all in these magazines. I don't know why there wasn't a boy magazine with that shit. And, you know, I'm not going to buy some fucking magazine that's got, like, the kids from Tool Time are all grown up. Prepare to be disappointed. Has anyone looked up Jonathan Taylor Thomas lately? Wonder what he's looking like these days. I feel like I remember the older brother, that fat blonde, grew up to be not great looking, although that's no one's surprise. I feel like the little kid got weird looking, too. But I wonder about old JTT. Who's that other guy? Brad Renfro or something? What's he up to? Where are the stars now? Anyway, so great 90s room. So they go to school. And of course, for some reason, I couldn't tell I was like, are they starting school in the middle of the semester? Like, is he starting in the spring semester and it's still winter and shit? Like, is it just post-holiday? I can't tell. Because it seemed like they were... Well, they all introduced themselves. And, you know, there's, like, Wiley, who's the cousin, and he's just like, oh, I'm really into hockey, but he's, like, this tiny nerd, and you're like, yeah, fucking right. Everyone in this school is into hockey. And then you've got young Jack Black, who throughout the movie, you can tell they made this movie, and I don't know how early in the Jack Black career arc this was, but it must have been pretty early, because, you know, I saw it 100 times and didn't know him as a guy. Like, I wasn't thinking, oh, that's Jack Black. It was just like, he's the guy from Airborne with the Jughead. He gets in front of the class, and he's pretty good. And you can tell, filming this movie, that whoever directed this movie was kind of like, we've got a guy. Because they seemed like they decided halfway through the movie, like, make sure and cut to Jack Black for a reaction on everything. Like, maybe they had written in some, but then by the time they get to the end, every time something happens, they're like, get a Jack Black bug-eye shot on this one. Have him flail around and make noises, you know? So they, you know, and there's Snake, who I... This is another very 90s movie thing, that you're like, there's this kid. I feel like movies have gotten a little better about doing this. Like, you have a high schooler who's basically a murderer in some of these older movies. Like, he has a knife, and he's pulling it on people and, you know, threatening people constantly. And then I feel like things have gotten a little better where they're like, let's have this kid, you know, put out that he's a badass and maybe he's got an older brother who's in a gang. But come on. Like, the teacher, this guy gets in front of the class and is basically like, yo, my name's Snake, I like to murder, I'll fucking kill you, I'll make you my bitch. And the teacher's like, okay, thank you, Snake. And they call him Snake. What self-respecting teacher, a kid's like, call me Snake, I'll be like, okay, I'm not calling you Snake. Your name is Reginald, I'm calling you Reginald. Reginald Val Johnson. I don't know. If the kid had an eye patch and long feathered hair and said, call me Snake in the way of Snake Plissken, then I would consider it. But just because it's like, you can't just do that. I feel like I don't have the guts to stand up and tell some people like, hey, call me Pete. Not Peter, Pete. Or vice versa. And it's like, I don't have the guts to do that. How the fuck do you have the ability to say, call me Snake? Like, what if I decided... I'm just going to have people start calling me Snake. I mean, it would be pretty awesome to go to work and just be like, I mean, everybody calls me Snake. Right? That's what I am. I'm a snake. I don't really know anything about snakes, though, or care for snakes. That's a thing. That's, I guess, a thing that some people do somehow. Snake is, you know how people say you can't make your own nicknames? Like, I think that rule doesn't necessarily apply if you're just like, I don't want to go by my dumb name, I'm going to go by a middle name. You know, I had some school friends who were like that. We had, well, here's what's weird. You have, like, Victoria, and she was like, I don't like that, I'm going to go by Dolly. And you're like, Dolly? That's better than Victoria? How? Or Vicky? Or, I don't know. Anyway... So you've got Snake, you've got Jack Black, you've got, you know, a bunch of assholes. And then you've got Mitchell, who just kind of like... Here's the thing about Mitchell. I remember when I was in school, like, a new kid would show up to school, and the new kid was always, like, cool for a couple days. Because they were mysterious, right? And you're like, they're from a place that's not here. Everyone here is from here, just about. And then you figure out what they're actually like, and they lose cultural cachet over a quick period of time, I think, because then they become one of us. And you're like, well, you're kind of just one of us now, and I know us, we suck. So that's not doing you any good. But at first, it's exciting and new and passionate. like a new relationship. The new kid in school gets you hard right away, and then slowly over the time, the boners don't come so easy. But in this, they instantly decide to pick on him and be dicks to him and bully him. Bullying. Some classic 90s bullying, too. They don't get on Facebook and be like, "What a faggot," or something like that. Instead, they, you know, he's in the bathroom at one point taking a dump. Which, by the way, what are you thinking? I don't know how they do things in California, but I'll tell you, in the rest of the world, we don't take dumps at school unless it's an emergency. And when you have to take a dump at school, that's when you get out of class and go to the bathroom. Not in between classes, when everyone's walking around, going in and doing that shit. That's a little piece of advice for kids in teen movies. Don't go to the bathroom during a passing period. I know you're a nerd and you want to do everything right. Don't. Just go in during the class. You're fine. You're the smart nerd. You'll be fine. Get up and go during the middle of class when there aren't going to be 8 guys in there fucking with you. Alright? And how do schools at this point not have, like, single-person bathrooms? How is that still not a thing? They should. They should just be like, look, we have the regular bathrooms, that's where you can smoke and hang out and whatever. I always think, too, because I've done some writing and stuff at the university library, because there's a million places to sit and they're open late. It's a good spot to go. And it's like a nice little walk. Everything about it is good, except you go to the bathroom, and it smells strongly of pee, urine, piss. Now you're like, I'm in a college library on the 3rd floor, and it still smells like pee. Like, how the fuck does that happen? Not in an my life has taken me to some weird places, including elementary school bathrooms. You know, for work functions and shit. I go be a judge at Battle of the Books or something, and then I have to go to the bathroom. And it's after school or whatever, so you just go in and pee. But you're like, God, this reeks of piss. But you're like, I don't know, this is like fucking 8-year-olds. They don't know what they're doing. I don't remember peeing as an 8-year-old. Can I tell you... can I reveal a weird bathroom story from elementary school? This is crazy. I go to the bathroom when I'm in elementary school between classes, and in the urinal is an earring, a gold cross earring, and I see it in there. It's like in the urinal next to me, and there's urine in there, but I see this earring and I see that it's gold, and because I'm fucking dumb as fuck and I'm in elementary school, I think that's gold, that's valuable. Like, that's... gold is the most valuable thing in the world, right? Like, nothing's better than gold. And, did I think gold was valuable enough to reach into a urinal and take out this gold cross earring that, of course, is not, like, real gold or anything? Yes, I did. I thought that was a good idea. So I reached in there, and then I remember, too, not actually being, like, super disgusted by that, the way I think I would be now. I hope I would be. I mean, I wouldn't do it, but... because, I don't know, even if I saw something I thought was valuable in a urinal, I'd be like, it's gotta be fake. Because if I was peeing in a urinal and I dropped $100 in there, I would just get it out myself. I'd be like, fuck that, it is worth $100. 50? Yeah, probably. I might even do 20. But my own pee. If I saw 20 in someone else's pee, I would think it was like a fake thing. You know, that was like... I don't know. You know, have you ever seen these, like, on the ground? It'll be an advertisement for a church. It's like $100 bill folded up. And you're like, oh my God. And then you pick it up and it's like, this isn't really $100, but you'd be even richer in soul if you came to our church. And then you're just pissed, right? You're like, go fuck yourself, you piece of shit. I like how the church's thing is like, here's how we'll get people to come to our side. make them really angry at us. Make them think they've got $100, then sweep it away with the other hand. And then they're sure to come to our church. Sometimes I wonder if churches have, like, I think that they need a consultant. I think they need an outside-the-church consultant to just be like, I'm not going to consult with you on the religious matters of, like, what are the answers to religious questions. But when you do your marketing and stuff, I can be honest with you and be like, yeah, I mean, points for Jesus-iness, but this is a horrible idea. Or, like, their church signs, you know, and they have, sometimes they're good. You know, sometimes I read it and I have to think for a second, and then I'm like, oh, I see what you did there. That's pretty good. You know, 7 days without Jesus makes 1 week. And you're like, oh, I see. Although, even that doesn't really work, because I'm like, yeah, listen, that works aloud, but in writing you have to pick W-E-E-K or W-E-A-K, and now it's not a thing. So when it's written on your church sign, it doesn't really work anymore. I would like to, I was saying too, how I think if I lived across from a church, I would get a big light up sign in my front yard, like a marquee, and just put my own messages in that. Or, you know, maybe just rate the ones from the church, be like, this week's message is a 4.5 out of 10. Like, come on, guys, get your shit together. Because sometimes they are really bad. Like, really, really bad. I don't get it. I don't get who sees these and is like, oh yeah, this is a good one. This is a real winner. And then I could put up my own messages too, just like about how I felt about things, I guess, right? Isn't that kind of what these are? Just like, hey, here's the church's opinion on something. Go Jesus. That's the other thing. They never use the marquee for anything other than you're like, no shit. Where they're like, you know who our number one favorite guy is? God. And you're like, oh, thank you. Wow. Good one. Or, you know, hey, the Pope is great. And you're like, oh, wow. Really, really taking a stance on that one. Boy, howdy. Jesus Christ. I don't know how trucks ever get anywhere. Because they're always going 20 below the limit. I don't know. If someone out there is waiting for, like, a load of gravel or some shit, I can tell you where your gravel is, and I can tell you it's not coming anytime soon. Alright, we are way off track of our friends in Airborne. So he's at school. Oh, yeah. He gets bullied like crazy. But, you know, they kind of go short of beating the shit out of him, at least for now. They just kind of do these fucked up things. He's in the bathroom. He's taking the shit. And, okay, I've never seen this in my life. But the toilet paper is, imagine you're sitting on a toilet, and the toilet paper is, like, above your head, above your head height, suspended from the ceiling by a huge chain that goes through the toilet roll, and then it's, like, locked. A padlocked chain that looks like something they would use to restrain the man in the iron mask or something in order to save toilet paper. Which, by the way, like, one of the best things about not being in school anymore is not using school toilet paper. I don't know. I took some bad dumps in school. Like, I feel like I didn't really know how to take shits places when I was in school. Like, it wasn't until I was in college, or even after college, that I was like, alright, here's when I have to take a shit somewhere, and here's when I don't, and here's how to just get in there and get it done. Take care of business. Because I feel like there was a lot of bad incidents. But on the other hand, sometimes I wonder too, it's like, how come it seems like in certain bathrooms, you're like, how come someone's always shitting this place up? Like, this is a horrible bathroom. Why would you take a shit here? But then you gotta think, well, people are only shitting here because it's a fucking emergency. Like, the only time, it's probably different people all the time, and they're just like, I would never shit here, but I have to. Like, I have no choice, which also means it's probably going to be a nightmare. A shit storm, if you will. So they do some bullying, and here's the thing. Like, it's just a movie, so I'll just talk about movies. I'm not talking about real life right now. But Mitchell's kind of a douche. And as I watch the movie, I'm not super opposed to him being bullied in the way he is. Because I would hate that. I hated him watching the movie, and I'm an adult. And he's, like, making these... He's always talking about, like, Gandhi and shit like that. And you're like, shut the fuck up already. Like, I don't need that kind of bullshit from a 12th grader or whatever. Fuck off. So he's kind of a dick and a douche, and he's, like, real cosmic and real laid back. They keep doing stuff to him, and he refuses to fight. Like, they're always trying to initiate a fight somehow, which I don't know why, but that's their thing, is they're trying to get him to fight, but he's like, I won't do it. I'm not going to fight. You know, I won't fight. So then they have, let's see, I'm trying to remember the exact order of events, because there's, like, a hockey game. Oh, yeah, they play a hockey game, and so they're short a guy. So they need another guy, so they have Seth Green. They're like, you can play, right? And he's like, totally. But he sucks at hockey and just gets annihilated. And then Mitchell's like, well, I could play, probably, right? And they're like, yeah, okay, let's have the new kid play. So he plays, and he's not great, and then he scores a goal on his own team. And that loses the game for their team, and then everyone is pissed. Including, you know, all his teammates and Snake and this guy who I think was named Frank. Frank is the older brother of this, you know, the hottest girl in school who wants to bone Mitchell real bad. And it's super obvious from the very beginning. And she makes no bones about wanting to bone. And of course, he's her older brother. And, in typical movie fashion, the older brother of a girl, like, his biggest thing in life is, I don't want anyone to fuck my sister. I am making it a mission in life to make sure that nobody's penis enters my sister. Which you're sort of like, why? Why is that such an important thing to you? Yeah, I don't want your sister to get, like, molested or something, but, she's, like, fucking 18, and she wants to fuck this 18-year-old guy from California who's, like, a hot dude. All the girls in the school want him, by the way. So, what's... I don't know. Is that the worst thing? Is that, like, that's your passion project, is to make sure your sister doesn't fuck anybody? That just seems like such a weird stance for brothers to take. Like, I know people will give brothers shit. Like, they'll be like, ah, your sister's real hot. And I think you're supposed to get really mad about that. But I don't know. You're just like, yeah, I don't know. She's, like, normal, I think. I don't know. I don't have any particular, like, yeah or no about it. That's your thing. Like, I don't know. I don't think I would have been super pissed off if my friends slept with my sister. I don't think that would be a big thing for me. It would be annoying, I guess. Here's why I wouldn't want my friends to sleep with my sister. I wouldn't want, like, in high school for that to happen, because I don't want my friends to come over and pretend they're coming over to hang out with me so they can fuck my sister. Because I want to hang out with my friends. Like, I don't want... You know, while they're banging my sister, it's like, what am I going to do? Play fucking GoldenEye by myself? Fuck you. And also, if I'm helping you get this sex, you should be helping me get some other kind of sex as well. Like, that's fair. So that would piss me off. I think that's where I would come into conflict. It has nothing to do with their relationship, my sister and this person. It's just that I would be like, well, now we can't really be friends because you only come out. I mean, I can't compete with you having sexual intercourse as an 18-year-old. Like, that is not going to be, what am I going to offer? Oh, we get Little Caesar's pizza and rented Terminator 2? That shit's rated R. Okay. Well, or I could have sex. That's rated X. Okay? I don't know. There's nothing you could do. Maybe that's the source of the frustration. Is this Frank is like, I'm a cool guy. I'm great at hockey. I keep myself in shape. I beat up losers. I do all this stuff. I have this great group of friends. And then my sister just has a vagina, and all my friends are picking her over me. I'm a little miffed about this muffed. So anyway, Frank is there, and Mitchell fucks up the game, scores the goal on his own team, and then basically Frank just annihilates him, you know, body checks him and knocks him out or whatever. So he spends the rest of the... Mitchell, it seems like then this bullying goes on for months, like the entire rest of the winter, and then it becomes fall. Then he gets a package in the mail, and he's like, oh, thank fuck, you know, this is the best thing in the world. I totally forgot about this. And it's his rollerblades. And, you know, he puts on his rollerblades and he's like the most awesomest extreme rollerblader, like doing all these tricks and rail slides. And there's even a part, there's like a very Rocky II style part where he's rollerblading around and kids on rollerblades and skateboards are like following him, you know, and they like get to a staircase and these kids kind of like skate down the stairs, skate walk down the stairs, and Mitchell like jumps up and grinds the rail down the stairs, and they're like, holy shit. Holy fucking shit. Which is cool, except the period between when he arrived in Schitzholzburg and gets his rollerblades, because you're like, let me get something straight here. You brought your fucking surfboard to Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania. I don't know where the nearest waves are to Pittsburgh, brah. He also calls everybody brah and bro and stuff. I don't know where the nearest waves are to Pittsburgh, but I do know where the nearest sidewalk is. Everywhere. Everywhere. And so if you made a choice to bring one item of, you know, leisure and sport with you, which is, you know, your key to life, you brought your fucking surfboard and left your rollerblades. And somehow they got mailed to you months later. Like, oh, a package came for you. It's your rollerblades. Why the fuck wouldn't you bring that with you? Of everything you own, you're like, surfboard. So anyway, he's an amazing rollerblader. And he comes across, you know, he rollerblades through this, you know, obstacle course and shit. And he comes across, you know, a roller hockey game. It's basically like the same game as before, with, you know, these same idiot kids, but they're on rollerblades instead of ice skates. So he joins up the game. You know, they're like, sure, why not let him play? Because they're like, we're going to fuck him up again, basically. We'll just hit him and stuff. I don't know what their plans are, but they're like, yeah, he can play. And it's your classic snobs versus snobs story, because these kids who've been, you know, fucking with Mitchell, and they're like the head of the hockey team or whatever, the captain, but they're playing against these other kids who are the preps. And you know they're the preps because one of them is very tall and blonde, and I guess that's how you are a prep. I don't even know what the other ones look like, but this is what happens. So he goes to play the game. And now that they're on rollerblades, he's fucking amazing, right? Because this is his wheelhouse. Even though he's not really played hockey, he can rollerblade the shit out of anybody. So he's kicking ass, playing hockey. And I don't know, the girl is there, who I guess they haven't spoken since his hockey game embarrassment or something. But he's like, hey, go on a date with me. And she's like, I don't know. I can't remember why she's mad at him, but she's mad at him for no real reason. And he's like, come on, let's go on a date. And then finally she's like, okay, you know. So he somehow gets in conflict with the main prep guy and gets back at him by giving him a classic de-pantsing, which you're like, fucking A. Pulls his pants down. You see he's wearing a jock strap with no underwear. Everyone laughs their ass off. Everyone in the crowd is like, oh, shit. And then, you know, the bad guys try and get him, but he rollerblades away into the Mystic. So this all... Now, like I said before, I'd seen this movie before. All I really remembered of it was at some point there was, like, a big rollerblade off down this mountain or something. And it was like a big rollerblade race. That's all I remembered of the movie. And we're like an hour into a 90-minute movie now, and I'm like, there's no sign of a rollerblade race. So after this hockey game, Jack Black and Snake and some other people come over to Mitchell's house, and they're like, dude, you're awesome at rollerblade. You have to join us in this race down Devil's Backbone, which is a series of hills in the shitty city that, it's this, like, crazy route through everywhere that no one would possibly memorize or know. You know, it's like, oh, they go over an overpass, and then they're going down these stairs, and then they're going through this mountainous area, and through these neighborhoods and intersections and shit. It's not real clear either what the stakes of this race are or the purpose of it is. Like, oh, well, they're racing against the Preps, who have their team of rollerbladers. And it's not real clear why or what the winner gets or something. I think there's some line about, like, whoever wins, you know, or whoever loses hockey forever or some shit like that. You know, someone's got to get 3 rollerbladers in first. So, they, then the, finally, the fucking rollerblade race happens, right? They finally get to the goddamn rollerblade race, which is like the whole, that's the, like, prestige piece of the movie. Like, again, if this is a Rocky movie, this is the last boxing match. Except instead of having, like, a story and stuff before this and a training montage, they just kind of have people pulling each other's pants down and having a fake fight in a diner and stuff. They also go on these, I forgot to mention, they go on a double date, him and Seth Green. So what happens is, you know, Mitchell gets to go on this date with this girl, and she's like, well, get someone for my friend, too. So, of course, he gets his cousin. And there's a clothes trying on montage where Seth Green tries on, like, 10 different outfits, and they're all... This is, like, what's so unrealistic. Like, when I was a kid, if I was going on a date, I might try on, like, 5 different shirts because that's what I have and not even really consider my pants. And, you know, his outfits are like, okay, he's got, like, a kilt on and, like, a whole Scottish... He's wearing costumes. You know, he's like, now I'm a metal guy. Now I'm, like, a punk. Now I'm a kilt person. You know, all this shit. And you're like... Oh, I'm like a gangster rapper. You know, this is my Jamie Kennedy costume. And you're just like, man, why you got all these why are you wearing costumes right now? Just wear clothes. You know what I wore on dates? Clothes. Kind of the same clothes I wore most of the time. Also, I can't imagine that a 90s kid would be real excited to go on a date with Seth Green regardless of how he showed dressed up. So I don't know, he should probably just show up in whatever he's comfortable in. So they go on this date, and you know, it's like a weird... Here's what's weird in dates and movies especially, is like, I never understood when I was a kid how parties worked before there was such thing as beer at parties. Like, what do you do when you get there? And like, I didn't really... I don't know. Is this something people like? Like, I had a couple friends who would have a birthday party, like, in maybe middle school or junior high. And this was before people drank beer and stuff. And you would go, and there'd be boys and girls there. And there'd be a cake or something. But there wasn't, like, stuff you were doing. Like, when you're a little kid, there's, like, the parents are kind of like, here's what we're doing. We're going to a laser tag. You know, your parents need to come pick you up at this time or some shit like that. But, you know, at this juncture, that was not a thing. So, I didn't understand what we were doing. And I didn't really, I didn't like sitting around and talking to other sixth graders. I was like, that's a fucking waste of time. Like, can somebody break out a fucking Super Nintendo already? I am bored. And these people are dumb. And, we're all just wasting each other's lives here. But no, alas. And that's the kind of dates they were on, where it's like, what do you do? And, I don't know. I went to some, like, sixth grade roller rink dates, right? And what you would do is you would roller skate, or blade, and then you would hold hands during the slow songs, and sometimes sit on a bench next to somebody, like a picnic table style bench. And maybe someone would have, like, a fucking snow cone or something. And that was it. Like, I don't remember what we talked about. Probably nothing. Like, I'm sure the whole time I was thinking about what to talk about. And it was, like, in the week leading up, thinking, like, what are we going to talk about? But that's why roller skating was a great activity, roller rink date. Because you go there, and, like, it's loud as shit. And you just skate around. You don't have to skate next to the person the whole time. You can't really talk anyway. So who cares? So they go on these shitty dates, whatever. And then we get to the race, and they have this crazy race. Now, what's funny about the race is, like, it was actually, you know, the rollerblade stuff was pretty good. You know, it seemed like they had real... At the end, we watched the credits, and it was, like, rollerblade stunt people. And it was, like, 50 fucking people. At least. And you're like, Jesus, they really put a lot of effort into it. And you could tell, it paid off. It was worth it. But, you know, they're, like, going down these streets and stuff, and, like, just getting... Basically, it would be like a kid... rollerblading down the street, and he goes flying through an intersection, and there's one part where a kid gets hit by a car, and the car's like hitting the brakes, but the kid is underneath the car. Like, his legs and torso are under the car, and his head is sticking out the front. And you're like, that kid is dead. And you know, they make him move, and he's like, oh man, like, he's out of the race. But you're like, are you kidding me? Like, he's pissed off. He would have just seen his fucking life flash before his eyes, and he would take his rollerblades off, throw them in a fucking ditch, and then his friends at school would be like, what the hell happened to you in the race? And he'd be like, I was nearly killed. I don't give a flying fuck about rollerblade races down goddamn Devil's Backbone, which is just a thing you made up. That's not even a thing. It's just what you called this series of downhill areas. Do you think I care about that? No. You're an idiot. Fuck you. I'm alive. I am alive. And he would, like, tear his shirt off and jump out the window. And instead of that, you know, you just kind of had, oh man, I'm out of the race. And there were multiple horrifying, you know, like, a car comes to a screeching halt and the kid goes flying over the hood of the car and shit. And you're just like, Jesus Christ. This is a horrible idea. You know, a kid falls off a bridge into the water, although it doesn't show him again, so I have to assume his rollerblades dragged him down into the deep. He's rolling in the deep now. Oh my god, that was the best. That thing I just did was the best. Yeah, and they have this big race, and of course it ends with, you know, Mitchell and his enemy, and they're the last two who need to come in for their team. And the enemy guy is, like, fell down or something, and he's hurt. But Mitchell goes back and picks him up, and they come through the ending, and they win. They beat the other preps, the real preps? I don't know, they beat some guys. And they win the day. Everyone's happy. And you just got airborne, and that's the end of the movie. So it's weird because, like, as a kid, all I remember was this race. That is all I didn't remember that he was, like, from another state and kind of transplanted there. I didn't remember, like, the characters at all. I remember thinking during the race I was very unsure of who the good and the bad guys were. Like, I don't think this is a movie I ever saw on purpose. I think it was all just stuff that this was a movie that was on TV every weekend. Like, it seemed like every Sunday at maybe 1 o'clock, they're like, hey, let's throw on fucking Airborne, huh? Come on! And they would put on Airborne, and then I'd be watching fucking Airborne. So maybe I never saw the movie, although now I can understand why I would have been, even if I had, why I would have been fucking confused as hell about who the good and the bad guys were, because basically, you've got these bad guys through this entire movie who then, because of 1D pantsing, become good guys and are like, actually, now we gotta team up against the real bad guys. It's like a classic, you know, comic book movie, right? Or a comic book team-up. Like, every time there's a comic book team-up or whatever, like, I got this comic and it's like Spider-Man versus Superman or the Hulk versus Batman. And you'd be like, finally, the fight we all wanted to see, the Hulk versus Batman, which is like, did we really want to see that? I don't think we wanted to see that. And Superman versus Spider-Man, you're like, I mean, I guess, I don't know. Sure. I'll read it, but I don't think it was like the one we were clamoring for as fans. It's the coolest it's the premier character. Why wouldn't you do Spider-Man versus Batman and the Hulk versus Superman? Were they just, now that I think about it, were they just fucking with us? Were they just like, everyone will be expecting us to do, you know, Spider-Man versus Batman and the Hulk versus Superman. So what we'll do is switch it around to fuck with everybody. Because that does seem, now that I think about it, like a fuck you. Right? Because the Hulk versus Superman, that's interesting. Kind of, right? I don't know. Spider-Man versus Batman, sure. That seems like a thing. Batman's hiding in the shadows, Spider-Man's got a spidey sense. Batman is like a human trained to the perfection, and Spider-Man is a fucking Spider-Man. They both kind of have some gadgets at the time. It's perfect. So anyway, but here's what always happens. Somehow Spider-Man and Superman cross paths, and at first they're enemies for no real reason. They start fighting, and then they quickly realize they need to stop fighting because they're like, my god, Lex Luthor and the Joker and... No, that doesn't work. Lex Luthor and Dr. Octopus have teamed up. Or Lex Luthor and Norman Osborn have teamed up to fight us as a super team-up team. So now we've got to stop them. And then they don't fight anymore. So, you know, it's like a little misleading because they're like, oh, it's Spider-Man versus Superman. And you're like, it's Spider-Man versus Superman for like 5 minutes. And then they just team up and foil the bad guys. Which... they seem to be able to foil individually pretty regularly, so I don't really know what the value add, why they're like, we need to team up. I don't know why Superman can't just be like, hey, I'm going to defeat Lex Luthor, and also, you know, this octopus guy does not seem to be up to my standards. I mean, I'm that super, like, I could just punch him and put him in a jail if that's what you'd prefer. Tie his unbreakable arms in knots and fly away. And Spider-Man could be like, awesome, I'll take pictures of it to sell to J. Jonah Jameson. So that's kind of what it was like, what happens in this thing, except for the bad guys, like the bad guy fighting each other part was way longer, and the part where they are friends just happens so quickly, so ridiculously fast of just, hey, we were enemies, but now let's be friends, and then they be friends. And you're like, all right, well, I guess they're friends. That's cool. And then they rollerblade race down Devil's Backbone. Also, I don't know if anyone really informed Mitchell what he was doing. Like, you're about to engage in the most dangerous thing you've ever... like, this is legitimately dangerous and a bad idea. Like, the mayor of this city would be getting involved in this and be like, we need to stop kids racing down Devil's Backbone. Which will be really easy to do because, you know, we stopped kids, like... skating in every plaza in town by just putting up little bars on the rails and shit. So all we gotta do is do that, and then boom, we're done. I wish, if I could time travel back, one of the things I might do is, like, I think you could make a tidy little fortune if I time traveled back to 1992 and stole the invention of different anti- skateboard and rollerblade prevention measures, you know, like the little clip-on things that clip onto a rail, or the sign that says don't skateboard here, stuff like that. Like, if I invented that stuff and then sold it all and was like, oh, I have a solution for you, and like I could pick out the top spots in the nation of, like, this is where all the rollerbladers went, I could go against my very own kind. I could never really do that stuff, like the grinding and stuff. I tried a little bit, but I was never good at that. I could skate okay, but I was not good at that. But yeah, I could just go against my own kind. And also invent the sticker that says skateboarding is not a crime. That was a big thing. Which is funny, because now I've seen a bunch of posters around town, because, you know, people are always longboarding down the streets near the university, which is close to where I live. And I see posters all the time that are like, It's a $100 fine if you longboard on the street, so just be aware of that. And I'm like, oh, skateboarding is a crime then. Well, turns out the stickers of 90s were wrong. Maybe mean people don't suck. Who knows? I don't know what to think anymore about the 90s. So is Airborne worth a watch? I think it's totally worth it if you saw it 100 times in the 90s like I did. I wouldn't watch it by myself because I just would have been bored, I think. It's not as fun to talk about how shitty and stupid it is and how shitty and stupid we were in the 90s. But yeah, I think it's worth a look-see. If you want like a real 90s-y movie and, but you don't want something dramatic, you know, if you've seen The Craft and you've seen Clueless, which is like an exploded version of it, and you just want something that's like, if you want something that's 90s, but not self-aware about being 90s, it's not ironically 90s, it's not a 2010 version of what the 90s were, it is just fucking 90s as fuck, and that's it. Good movie to choose. But I think that's it for this show. Been going for about an hour here. I'm well on my way. Almost a fifth of the way to Grand Junction. On this note, if you enjoyed hearing about this film, I'm trying to talk to a local movie theater, The Cress, about starting a movie night. And they're interested in some of the suggestions, and one of the suggestions I had was the motion picture The Wizard, starring Fred Savage and Jenny Lewis from Rilo Kiley, and an autistic kid who's great at video games, and they go to a Nintendo Championships. So I'm hoping to start like a semi-regular movie night, and part of this would also be, it wouldn't be just seeing a movie, right? We would watch a movie, but we would also, you know, I would invent some drinking games to play during the movie, and we'd have some trivia action, and we would also, hopefully, in the case of The Wizard, be able to hook up a Nintendo and play Nintendo World Championships, so we could also have a mini Nintendo World Championships as well, and crown a king or queen of Nintendo, along with the showing. If this is something you're interested in, just send me a tweet or an email or something saying like, hey, I'm into this movie night thing. That's something I would totally do. Because we might have to, pre-sale tickets in order to make this happen. Because they have to pay for the licensing for the movie, and that costs usually $300 to $500, which isn't a big deal, except for they have to sell enough tickets to make that worth it. And so in order for this event to work, we have to do that. So if and that's the route they go and we make this happen, if you just send me an email or a tweet or something, I'll put you on a list. And then when that option becomes available, I will, send you a direct message of, hey, you can buy the ticket. Go ahead and do that. And of course, you know, you don't have to do that because if that option becomes available, I'll just fucking do it anyway. However, it would be good to know there's at least like half a dozen people who would be interested or involved. So thanks for listening, and, wish me luck. There's way too many fucking cars on this road right now, and I will see you guys later.